ABC Radio Australia.
We start in Fiji, where the country's HIV epidemic is worsening. The government says more than 2,000 new infections were recorded in 2025, up more than 25% from the previous year. Health Minister Dr. Ratu Atonio Lalambalavu told Parliament the virus is now spreading across all sectors of society. He says the evidence of these can be seen in the detection of the virus in pregnant women.
When HIV is rising in antenatal clinics, it tells us this is no longer an outbreak in one population group. It is increasingly present in the wider community, and babies are now at risk. Last year, we estimated that 59 babies were born with HIV, up from 31 cases in 2024. On average, at least one baby died of HIV each month in 2025. In light of this, government action must now match the urgency of the epidemic.
Health Minister Dr. Atonio Lalambalavu speaking in Parliament. For more on Fiji's HIV epidemic and to discuss measures that such as a proposed needle exchange program is Dr. Sailosi Songo. He is the Principal Medical Officer for Harm Reduction and Drug User Health at Fiji's Ministry of Health. Dr. Songo, Yandra Vinaka, welcome to Pacific Beat.
Yes, Yandra Vinaka, Lini.
Vuniwai, it's good to have you on the show, and I'm grateful for your time. Let's get right onto it. We've just heard the minister outline those latest figures. Tell me, where do these numbers come from, and what do they tell us about how the outbreak is evolving in Fiji?
Yes, so the figures mentioned by the Honourable Minister is from our diagnostic labs, our hospital registries, and our sexual reproductive clinics. These data sources go through a data validation process. And right now, the unit is looking after that. These figures highlight a key issue that we see in Fiji, and in that the HIV transmission patterns are changing. Traditionally, most HIV cases were linked to sexual transmission, but increasingly, we are seeing cases associated with injecting drug use. when people share needles or syringes, even tiny amounts of blood can carry the HIV virus. And since HIV can survive in used syringes for some time, sharing injecting equipment becomes one of the most efficient ways of spreading the virus. You mentioned the needle syringe program. We are currently trying to implement that program, and research has shown it is very successful at decreasing HIV transmission. It is present in over 94 countries as of last year. So we are trying to get that implemented.
So it looks as if a lot of these new infections are still coming from intravenous drug use. And I hear that concern in your voice, but also in the speech of the Honourable Prime Minister, the concern around the link between HIV and injecting drug use. But what are you seeing on the ground right now in terms of how it's contributing to these newer infections that keep doubling every year?
Yes. Thank you. We are seeing a rise in drug use in the community, and particularly methamphetamine. So from a public health perspective, there's actually two problems, the HIV problem and the increase in drug use problem. And one thing we've noticed is that the important factor in this is that many people who use drugs face stigma and have barriers to accessing health services. And this means that they may not get tested early, they may not receive the treatment that they need, and that they continue to unknowingly transmit the virus. So from the public health perspective, you know, the rise in HIV cases is closely linked to more broader health issues, social and health issues. So in drug use, access to prevention services, stigma around HIV and addiction. And the good news is that HIV is preventable and treatable. And with the right intervention, testing, treatment, harm reduction, and education, we can slow and eventually stop this outbreak.
There are two issues you raised there. One to do with clean needles, making clean needles available. And you said earlier that this program exists in 34 other countries, and the research is showing that it is a way of slowing down HIV infections that comes from injecting drug use. But doctor, what is the problem? Why haven't we implemented that here? And I understand that this is already in the works. Tell us why there are difficulties.
Thank you, Alide. So from a program perspective, what we have found is that there is some differences in the interpretation of the laws governing the implementation of the needle syringe program. So at the moment, we are drafting a policy on harm reduction in order to address those constraints. So at the moment, right now, if we go ahead with the needle syringe program, there is a very high chance that service providers will be arrested or charged for aiding and abetting. In the Illicit Drugs Act, it mentions there that anyone that is found to be assisting those who use drugs to use drugs, committing an offense. And even though the HIV Act is in 2011, it supersedes the other previous acts, there is some differences in interpretation of the law, which is why we are going through this process of trying to kind of clarify and write up the policy to kind of protect us, the service providers, from actually distributing the needles. We don't want the workers on the ground to be then arrested and then charged for doing something that is trying to prevent HIV.
So that work sounds like quite a lot of complicated processes of law reform and, you know, legislation amendment. What kind of timeline are we looking at before we can start seeing this needle exchange programs implemented?
Yes, this has been happening from last year. To be honest, there has been consultations with various legal sectors. Internally within the ministry, we have gone through several rounds of consultation, and with the minister's directive to start the unit that I'm currently working in, the HR in human resource was only like, I think we are operating now at 14% of what we should have. So I'm hopeful that in the next 2 months, I'm setting a target for myself in 2 months. Just had a very productive discussion yesterday with one of the policymakers. We've come up with a template and a plan, and I'm hopeful by 2 months we should get things running on the ground.
Well, you certainly have our best wishes with regards to that. And I will take my cue from your optimism and hope for yourself, doctor. I have the question I'm wondering about now, or another area of infection that we're seeing, or a new trend, is that intravenous drug use infections are coming from inside of our correctional facilities. Why are prisons an important part of Fiji's HIV response right now is, I guess, what I'd like to ask you. But first, how are we getting syringes inside of our correction facilities?
Yeah, that is a difficult question to answer. But, it is happening. We are in communication with our colleagues in prison, and this is a big problem. One thing that we have identified is that they also face issues similar to the health system of overcrowding. There is peer pressure. And how the needles are entering, that might be another Friday session. But what we do see that they definitely need our support. Now, the prison system, they should have access to HIV testing, treatment, prevention, and health services that every other person in the community will be offered. So from my perspective, we are working closely with them. We will also include them for the Needle Syringe program. There is also another prevention activity that's coming in. It's called PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis. And that will also be a game changer once it comes to Fiji.
Dr. Songo, I wonder about the rehabilitation or the re-entry protocols that currently exist within our corrections facilities. I mean, that is a separate issue on its own. And now I'm wondering, in terms of drug user health, which is, you know, the area of work you're in right now, what does re-entry for our ex-inmates look like now that you have to worry about whether they've contracted the virus within the prison system?
That is a bit of a gray area. It's still in its infancy, but what we are hoping to do is to have a system in place within the prison where they are able to test and treat while they're in prison. Because what we're seeing that's happening is people are going into these correction facilities without HIV, coming out, and then they find out they do have HIV. So the identification of HIV within the prison, we are seeing as an important goal. And then while they're there, to have the capacity to treat, it will also be beneficial in the re-entry. But what we are seeing is that the prison system is becoming an incubation area for HIV. And we are working closely with the medical team to kind of help them address that.
Incubation area for HIV, certainly not what I would like to be hearing, but I can see your work is cut out for you, Doctor. What can the communities do to help you, to help the health authorities, to slow the spread of HIV?
You know, the community plays such an important role in responding to HIV and drug use. And I think, like, if we can start off by just raising more awareness and informing others. The reason I mention this is because one important challenge that people who have HIV and those who provide the service for managing HIV faces is stigma. So what I would say for the community: stay informed, inform others, educate yourself, talk amongst yourselves, your peers, your groups, talk about HIV transmission, prevention, please be aware that there is testing available, there's treatment available, talk about the risks associated with injecting drugs and sharing needles. When we break down the statistics, we find that the age group most affected is between 20 and 34, mostly Itoke and majority males, even though the gap is narrowing. Those are those high at risk. And just talk about HIV and how you can kind of contribute. So for the males, talk about safe sex practices. Talk about supporting women when they go into antenatal clinics. Talk about stigma and peer pressure. And, you know, the majority of those in the correction facilities are Itoke and male. So, you know, we have to have a conversation around that as well. So the females out there, you know, I would encourage them, talk about pregnancies, you know, early booking. One of the things that we are noticing now is the transmission of HIV from the mother to the child. I think the minister had mentioned the other day, that there was a child, there was one child death every month. So when you're looking at the statistics, there was a total of 17 deaths for the year, 2025. So that is a worrying trend. And the four, specifically the stigma. You know, when HIV enters a community, it does not care who you are. It does not care what you do. The minister mentions it does not see political lines. And it kind of triggers a response within the community. And I think that response is rooted in more like fear, that there is a lack of information and some like deeply ingrained beliefs. And these kind of community-level responses, it creates an environment where stigma thrives, and that isolates people living with HIV, and it deters others from trying to seek help. And where I see HIV stigma thriving, I see people dying.
Imagine that scenario is very difficult to comprehend this morning. Vuniwai, thank you so much for keeping us up to date on the situation. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Sailo Sisongo from Fiji's Ministry of Health. Vinakavalevu for joining us on Pacific Beat and keeping us up to date on this infection of HIV in Fiji.